Thank you for that reading. Sandy, appreciate that reading. We have a passage of scripture there, of course, that we're all very familiar with. It really talks about growth. And that's one of the aspects I'd like to discuss with you this morning, is the thoughts about growth, but also the thoughts about the situation that we are in today. And not only about the situation that we're in today, but also about what's going to take place afterwards. You know, the congregation, the South Loop Church of Christ, we've swelled during this period of time of the coronavirus. You take a look at the numbers today, it's been pretty consistent, somewhere in the 70s, 78 today, that are present with us. That doesn't take place when we meet at the building. And I think that Daryl, maybe a couple of weeks ago, made the statement, just wish that all of y'all could just come and be part of the congregation here in Taylor, and I certainly want to echo that thought. I wish that was the case. We know that's not the case. We know that that's going to change. And so this congregation has swelled, and in connection with that, I want us to ask the question, now what? And the reason I'm saying that is because this is going to end at some point in time where we meet like this. We'll be going back to the building at some point in time. But when that takes place, what will we do? I think that we need to be thankful and reflect for this time that we've had together, whenever that time does come where we don't meet on the first day of the week in this cyber place, but rather we meet at the buildings or at your own respective congregation where you attend. We need to be thankful and reflect over what has taken place during these past month and a half or so that we've been meeting together in this manner. But we also need to be planning for that time when we go back, planning for what's next, when we go back to our own congregations. And really, it's going to be, when we go back, it's going to be about what we take from the current condition that we're in right now and what we draw from that. And hopefully that's been positive for you. Even in a bad situation, this is not the way that we want to be together. But the circumstances have given us really two options in the way that I see it, and the elders also. Either we meet this way or we didn't meet at all. This is much better. But we need to plan for what's next after that. We swelled for a time, and we need to ask our question based upon what our reading was when we look at 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 13, especially starting there in verse 5, you supplement what we have spiritually. And have we been supplementing in this period of time where we have been meeting like this? Or actually, have we been declining? And we'll talk about these aspects. But there's something for us to think about, something that we need to draw from in this time of trial, in this time of testing that we've gone through, because really it has been a time of testing. And so we need to think about and reflect on this time of testing. Now, first of all, about the wonderful blessings during this current situation. We came together in worship. We met on the first day of the week according to the scriptures as stated in Acts the 20th chapter and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. And that wasn't the only thing they did, but certainly they did remember the Lord's death on the first day of the week. We've done that. We have done that. And I will tell you that I've been called in question by some whether or not we should be doing that because we're not physically sitting together. I've given an answer in connection with that, not only in connection with the Lord's Supper, but in every aspect of worship as we're going to be talking about. I've given an answer to them. When we're at the building, if I'm sitting beside you, I don't know where your mind is and you don't know where my mind is. And that's point one. We don't really know who is all there that is present. We don't know if people are worshiping in spirit and in truth that are sitting right beside us. We don't know what people are thinking. We don't know that. And the point about worship is that it is individual, it is personal, it is with the Lord. Including meeting upon the first day of the week. And including partaking of the Lord's Supper. We commune with the Lord. We do so in an assembly setting, just as we are going to do today. It will be an assembly setting. I know it's a cyber place, but it is an assembly setting that we do that in. We're not taking our little containers to the side and just doing it without being in an assembly situation. But yet, when we partake, it is personal with the Lord. We're communing with Christ. And we do that individually. While we were in this situation, when we came together to worship, we also taught God's Word. We were in fellowship. And every time that you see the word fellowship in the New Testament, it's not talking about that which is physical, but it is that which is spiritual. We remember the Lord's death, and we prayed according to the Scriptures, as stated in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 42. The disciples there in Jerusalem, starting on the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers. And we've done that when we come together in worship. We've sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs according to the Scriptures, as we, of course, know, Ephesians 5 and verse 19, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let me tell you, we've done a disservice to any brother that's ever led singing if we just sit back and listen to him while we meet here. We should be singing with him, and we know the reasons that we're doing that because of the feedback and the chaos that it causes. And it's not doing things in order and decently if we all have our mics on. We understand that. But spiritually, we need to be singing with our brother and physically with our brother as we sit in our own homes, as he is directing us in that. And we are to lay by a store upon the first day of the week, and we've been doing that. We may not be able to physically put it into a plate, but even if you do that, it's not until the next day or so that money is deposited into the bank. It's not about when it's deposited, it's about when it's purposed. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 16, chapter verse 1 through 2. And that purposing is based upon, as we have been blessed by the Lord. And we understand that we need to be doing those things. And all of these things we've done in accordance with Scripture, if we have done them spiritually as we are supposed to do. I'm talking about your own responsibility, my own responsibility in worship. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John the 4th chapter, verse 23 and 24, "The hour comes and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." We can be physically sitting with one another, and we don't know if one or another, or each of us, or any of us, are truly worshiping in spirit and in truth. I pray that even though we're in this cyber place, we have worshiped in spirit and in truth. We've been communing with our Lord, spiritually in fellowship with Him and also with one another. That we've been singing with our brethren, we've been praying with our brother that leads us in prayer when a prayer is offered, that we've engaged ourselves in spiritual worship. And we've all done all of that when we've come together in worship, even in this cyber place. And if not, we've missed it. We've really missed what worship is. And I'll tell you, when we go back to the building, if we have missed what true worship is during this past month and a half, 2 months, whatever it's been, if we have missed that, we're going to miss it when we go back to the building also. And we need not miss that. Our worship needs to be spiritual. We need to get ready in the mornings just like we're going to be going to the building, because we are not dressing for one another, we're dressing for the Lord. And we need to make our worship distinct. It needs to be with an understanding of what is holy and separate to the Lord, rather than lounging and relaxing at home. And so hopefully we've done that. But there's another thing that we've done in coming together in worship in this cyber place. We protected our brethren. And I think that we need to give a thanks to our elders and the prudence that they used during this period of time. Whenever they decide that we go back, we go back. We understand that. And I'm talking about to the building. But we protected our brethren. We protected one another. By my count, there's been 8 or 9 that have been exposed, possible exposure to the virus. And thankfully, no one got it. But, you know, we have quite a few of our elderly members, of which I am one as far as the government is saying, age 65 and up, as far as that are more susceptible to this virus than others. And I thank them for their thoughts in protecting the brethren. And they need to be thanked for that. And so some wonderful blessings that come about in the worship. But not only that, family spending more time together. You think about this from Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And I know this is in connection with the Mosaic Law, but I believe that there's an application here. And these words that I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I will tell you that I don't believe that he's talking about physical writing of these things and the binding of the sign on their hand and frontlets between their eyes, but he's talking about how near it is to each and every one of them that the word was given. But you go back and you look. You teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I think about that in connection with what Paul says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. Two ways that this period of time in which we've not been attending, and really, if we've done what has been asked of us, we've not been going many places. Two ways that we can approach that. We can have the attitude, well, I'm stuck at home. Or we can have the attitude of, this gives me time to be with my family, to be with my loved ones, to teach them and to direct them. And we see Paul making this statement in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. You have had, we have all had, and especially those of you that have children have had, a great blessing in your families being with you all the time. To be able to do exactly what is spoken of here in principle in Deuteronomy and in practical in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 4. I pray that spouses have grown closer together during this time. I pray that there's not been anxiety and there's not been conflict in this time. What a grand time for families to come closer together in their relationship, and especially closer together because of the remembrance of the Lord daily and the teaching directed by the fathers of the households of their families. I'll tell you, if you didn't do that during this month and a half, whatever it's been, if you didn't do that while we are separate, how in the world, when we go back to jobs, we go back to our normal life, when we go back to doing things and going places, how are you going to do it then? We need to reflect on the opportunity that we have. And if you've not taken opportunity to do these things, take it now, while we're still meeting this way, to prepare yourself for when we go back to a more normal life. But we need to think about this as a blessing. Staying at home is a blessing. To have a home is a blessing. And to have family is a blessing. And to have brethren that we can count on, it's a blessing. These online assemblies have swelled. And I'll tell you, it didn't happen accidentally. It's much like the psalmist talked about. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord in the 122nd Psalm in verse 1. Again, in the 84th Psalm, verse 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then in the 84th Psalm in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I don't know about you. I'm hoping that it is with you as it is with me. I just, with excitement, I look forward to each Sunday and each Wednesday with you, meeting the way that we are right now. And it's no different for me when I'm at the building. I look forward to the worship services of the Lord. I look forward in coming together and studying God's Word and hearing thoughts from other people and looking at God's Word together and coming to a united understanding on what we see through God's Word. It's wonderful. These assemblies have swelled. And that's a blessing. That we have other people that evidently are coming in because they're enjoying the worship services, the worship assemblies, and the scriptures that are discussed, the remembrance of their Lord in all of these things. And we want you to know you're so welcome. We've enjoyed having you so much. Again, we wish you could have that you could be with us at all times. We know it's not possible for all. But these online assemblies have swelled, and hopefully this is your attitude, just as the psalmist presents here. Let's go to the house of the Lord. That's where we are this morning, spiritually. His dwelling place is lovely. It is whenever there is harmony and there is peace among brethren. Sing joy to the living God. We've done that already. And a day in His courts is better than 1,000. And it means that to be near with the Lord and also to be with brethren is so precious. We need to be thankful for that. We've had some restorations and additions during this period of time of trial. When we look back to Matthew 18, chapter verse 12 through 14, you remember there the parable of the sheep, where the 99 were left on the mountain. And the shepherd goes and searches out for that one that was astray. And when he finds it, he rejoices more than the 99 that were never astray, those that were safe, because now one that was lost has been returned. And we've had occasions, at least three people that are now members of this congregation, or that are members of this congregation, have come back confessing their sins and asking forgiveness and wanting to, and desiring to work with us from this point forward. What a great blessing. What a great blessing. Let me say to anybody else that is out there also that if you need to come back, don't waste your time in waiting for us to come together physically, because it's a spiritual thing in coming back to the Lord. And we can pray with you and for you. And we've done that for these three people. And it's been wonderful to have them return to us. Such joy to have brethren together and desiring to work together. And we've also had some, in addition, a sister that have joined us, placed membership with us. It reminds me of Romans 16, chapter verse 1 and 2. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord, worthily of the saints, and that ye assist her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself also has been a helper of many and of mine also, Paul says. We had a sister that has been in placed membership with us since we've come into these cyber place meetings. And so wonderful now to have her with us. And it is just a grand thing to reflect back on the blessings that we've received during this time. There's been members that have been working by inviting others. And I will tell you, let me also say, there are those that aren't even members of the South Loop Church of Christ that have been inviting others. And that is so wonderful. We appreciate that so much. We look in the 66th Psalm, verse 4 and 5. All the earth worships you and sings praise to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. And here, that same attitude we should have. Not only now, but also when we go back to the building. Come and see what God has done. The word is taught. And the scriptures are discussed. And understanding is what is strived for, and unity is what exists at the South Loop Church of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. In 111 Psalm, verse 1 through 3, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord for with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them, full of splendor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Let me tell you, if you haven't invited anybody to these online services, I wonder if you will when we go back to the building. And it's something that we need to reflect on and remember for when we do go back. Is it any different? No, it's not at all. We need to be involved in that work, just as many of you have been involved in. And it's a wonderful thing. We swelled, as far as numbers, in the 50s and the 60s on Wednesday, and in the 70s, all the way to 78, which I think today may be the record for us. I don't know. If I remember, I think 76 was before. I think 78 now is our record. And we swelled, but this swelling will end. And then we'll be back to our 40-45 on Sunday mornings at the South Loop Church of Christ. And when this crisis is over. But I want us to reflect on all these things for when we do go back. Because when we do go back, we need to plan. We need to think about what we're going to do. When all of this over, will we remember our excitement of coming together? And I think about this from the 42nd Psalm, 55th Psalm, and the 84th Psalm. 42nd Psalm, verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. And I just want to use the principle that is given to us here by David as he writes these things. And think about it. Like I said, I don't know if your excitement was the same as mine in being able to continue to meet. And not just have our own services at home, which of course would not be unscriptural, I don't believe at all, in this setting, but how much more fulfilling and uplifting and edifying when we have brothers and sisters with us to come together and to worship and going forth in this multitude. And it's a multitude with us this morning as far as the South Loop Church of Christ is concerned. 78 is a multitude. Our little building would be pretty full if we had everybody there this morning physically in that building, and that would be a grand thing. And so let me just say, in case you do want to come and visit, and we happen to have 78, we'll set out chairs. We've done that before. We want people to come. In the 55th Psalm, verse 14, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. And I think about that in fellowship, in company, in fellowship, and walk, and that sweet counsel together in God's Word and looking to God's Word and going to God's house. And we've done that when we come together, but we need to plan on doing that also when we go back, and to have that same joy that is expressed here in the 55th Psalm, along with the 84th Psalm, verse 1 and 2. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And we look at that attitude that is there. And that certainly should be ours. We worship in spirit and truth while we are here, and we want other people to be involved in that. And there are those that have set themselves to inviting others, and that excitement is there within them, and they want to work in doing that, and that should be the attitude that we all carry back when we go to the building. Will we check on one another as we did? Let me tell you, I call people now more than I did before, and that's confession of sin, that's confession of fault on my part. And I'm going to ask your forgiveness on that. I'm going to not stop doing that when we go back to the building. I'm going to keep that same level up. You know, we need the support of one another. And this is what Hebrews 10 verse 24 is talking about. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And that consider, and I brought this point up before, and I don't care if I did, it needs to be brought up right here because it's so pertinent. Vincent says that thought about considering one another, take careful note of each other's spiritual welfare. It denotes attentive, continuous care. That's the meaning of that word. And that's what we need to be involved in. I'm going to commit that those of you that I've been calling and checking in on, you're going to continue to receive calls. I'm going to keep that up. I was derelict in my spiritual duty to do that before, and I'm not going to be anymore. So I ask your forgiveness for that. But when we go back, let's plan on doing that. Hopefully you've been doing that also. Hopefully you've been checking in on others. Let's continue the work. As I mentioned, there were those that have been working to invite others. And let's continue that work. When we look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 through 58, God be thanks, which gives us the glory through Jesus Christ, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. I know that every Christian understands that, but that is our purpose as a Christian. It is to work. And that's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto or for good works, which were before ordained by God that we should walk in them. Our purpose as Christians is to work. And there's been many of you that are out, that are there listening today, that are here listening today, that have been working and inviting others. Don't stop that. It doesn't matter if you come back to the South Loop Church of Christ or if you go to your own congregation, continue in that work. Continue doing that. When we look in Titus 2, verse 13 through 15, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee, as he writes to this young man Titus. But there we see we are to be zealous. We are to be diligent in the work that we do for the Lord because it is our purpose. So as we plan to go back, let's be as diligent as in inviting people to come to this online worship assembly as we and let us do it in the same fervor, in the same way when we go back to the building to worship. Let's do that. Let's put forth an effort to attend. Hebrews 10, verse 25 through 27. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. I know there's a special application, I believe, to the last part of verse 25 there. But I want us to think about, is your attendance, has your attendance been the same when we met in the building as it has been while we've been online? Or do you attend about the same or do you attend less? If you attend more, make plans to attend more when we go back to the building. If you attend less, begin coming back with us while we're online, but also make a commitment to do so when we go back to the building. Put forth that effort to do so in coming together. The Lord wants us to do that. And I know that we are here in the cyber place together, but it will be so grand when we're able to see one another and be with one another. And it's more about the physical nature that sometimes afflicts us, that we think about, but also I think it is what the Lord wants, for us to come back together when the time is right. I want you to note, though, verse 26 and 27 here in Hebrews 10. Because it follows on the heels of not forsaking the assembly. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversaries. It is sin not to assemble. That's just straightforward. It's just sin not to assemble with the saints. We need to be doing that, and we need not to forsake that. And I think that we all understand that. Let's make plans to do that. And if you've not been assembling the way that you have been online, set a commitment in your spiritual life to do so even when we go back to the building. Because it's really no different. Grow spiritually and continue to grow. Have you grown during these online assemblies? Have you done that? Don't stop that growth. Make plans to make that growth even more when we go back. Continue to grow. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In opposition to some that look at verse 2 in reference to newborn babes in Christ, he's not talking about those that are newcomers to Christ, newborn babes in Christ. You see, the first word there in verse 2 is the word as. He's talking to all Christians. Be as newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word. The mother's milk to a baby is all sufficient for all sustenance to that child. And the Word of God is that way for us. And as Christians, it doesn't matter if you are in your 80s, those of you that are, and those of you that are children. Have a desire for God's Word, God's milk from the Word that is all sustaining. Not talking about immaturity, but that milk of the Word that is all nurturing. Have a desire for that. And if you have been doing that during these online studies, that is great, but don't let it stop when we go back. But do as Peter also says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Let me just say that one of the ways for God to be glorified, for Christ to be glorified at the end of that verse, is in our growth. If we're not growing, we're not glorifying God. So let's make plans to continue to grow. And if you've grown during these online services, that's great. That's wonderful. But don't stop here. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's use these current blessings to grow spiritually. Let's put forth the same effort, and I pray that everyone has put forth an effort in coming to these online studies, not only in what you wear, but in what you have beside you right now. If you're sitting there and you are sipping on coffee or a soda water, you're not making a distinction between that which is holy and that which is common. Let's use these spiritual blessings to set forth in these online assemblies that we've been engaged with, that which will carry us forward spiritually when we go back to the building and make us stronger than we've ever been. We must remember not to let this blessing of these online assemblies become a detriment to us. When these are over, you're going to have to get dressed. You're going to have to get in your car. You're going to have to drive. You're going to have to spend money to do that. You're going to have to come. You're going to have to sit in a building. And it's probably not going to be as comfortable as what you're sitting in right now. I can testify to that. Of course, I stand most of the time when I'm at the building. It's just not going to be as comfortable as it is right now, I'm really sure. But don't let that become a detriment. As a matter of fact, when we think about worship, every aspect of worship is a sacrifice. And we sacrifice to the Lord our comfort, our time, our presence, our own wants and desires. And I want you to remember this particular thought, and it's from Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah was becoming a little bit despondent because those that he was prophesying to would not listen to him. And he'd become a little bit wearied in his prophecies. And he began to faint a little bit. And the Lord said to him, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how can you contend with the horses? And though in a land of peace you are secure, yet how will you do in the pride of Jordan? Let me tell you what he's talking about. In times of relative peace, as he was prophesying of the destruction that was about to come, in relative peace, he began to be wearied. He began to be wearied because people weren't listening to him. And then God says, how can you contend with horses? Those that came in, the great powerful might of Babylon, came in to Judah and took it. How are you going to do that? How are you going to withstand if you cannot contend with that? Because something worse is coming, and it did happen. How are you going to contend with the pride of Jordan, where they crossed Jordan and went over into Egypt as God had told them not to do? How are you going to contend with the pride of Jordan? The pride there is talking about the lions that inhabited the banks of the Jordan in the trees that were on the banks of the Jordan, and there was great danger. And in Egypt, there certainly was. But take that principle to us today. We've gone through hard times. If you have wearied during those hard times, how in the world are you going to stand when those hard times are over? And not only that, there could be worse times that are ahead. Don't think that this is the worst that it can be. It can be much worse than this. It can be much worse. And so, let's plan to not faint Let's plan to do the Lord's will. I want to talk to those just briefly that are not Christians. And I want you to notice, I'm going to announce for you, because I want you to notice, after the hour-long sermon last week, time got away from me. I don't usually preach that long. That it is only about 18 after right now. And so I'll just say, you're welcome. But hopefully there's been some sustenance to and substance to this message. But I want to talk just briefly to those that are not Christians. You've gone through some hard times right now. Some of you that have come to an age of accountability, understanding that you are accountable before the Lord. You understand right and wrong. You understand that if you're not a Christian, that you're in danger of your soul being lost. You've not been able to go to school. You're not going to be graduating with your friends. None of those things are going to happen. And you may think about how bad that is. And it is bad. It's a terrible thing. And I'm sorry that those things happened. But matters that of more importance are so much more important than that. And that is the spiritual aspect. And you can make a change in that today, to where these things that are taking place to us are really not all that great. Because you can have the attitude that Christians have and not say, well, I'm stuck at home, but how blessed I am to be with my family. How blessed I am on Sunday morning to still be with my brethren, even though it's online. How blessed I am to come together on Wednesday and to study God's Word. How blessed we are. And you can have that blessing and that thought if you'll become a child of God this day. If you will say that you want to become a child of God, we will meet you at the building. We will make it possible for you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll be a child of God, and you'll be forgiven by God, and you'll be accepted into the fellowship of the brethren, and it'll be a wonderful thing. And you won't have to worry about these things that come in this life, because they won't have the meaning that they had before you become a Christian. There are contacts here that you see, and even tell your family, and they'll contact one of the elders, and they'll make it possible where you can become a child of God. I also speak to those that are Christians. Maybe you look back, maybe you've said, well, you know, over this month and a half, whatever it's been that we've been doing this, I really didn't use to the full benefit the spiritual application in my life of what I've seen in the things that we've been doing. Maybe you realize when I was at the building and we were worshiping there, I wasn't doing the work that I was supposed to do. I never mentioned the Lord to others. I didn't invite others. I wasn't involved in the work. I wasn't doing my studies. I wasn't living the life of the Christian as I should. Come back to the Lord. There we have brethren that will pray with you and for you, a whole congregation full, 78 full this morning, they'll pray with you and for you if you want to acknowledge that you need prayers of the saints. I pray that we will plan for going back when that time comes. I pray that we will make a change in our life. I pray that we will do those things that are pleasing to the Lord, and that we will always look at growing and striving to grow through Christ Jesus. At this time, then, we're going to be led in our invitation song.
He leadeth me, number 50, we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 with the chorus after verse 4.